This summer we are exploring one of the most familiar and beloved passages in the entire Bible, the 23rd Psalm. Over the first 2 weeks of this series, we've spent some time with verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We've seen how God is the good shepherd who provides for the needs of his people. This morning I want to focus on verse 2 of this psalm. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. It's a restful and calming scene. Blue sky, green grass, cool, clear water. Colors that psychologists have found calm us rather than excite us. Such a scene evokes peace and security. And I want to invite us into that restful place this morning. I want to focus our attention on the green pastures and the still waters of Psalm 23 through the lens of the story of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000, as it's found in Mark chapter 6. It's one of the only miracles that's told in all four of the Gospels. But Mark's account is really very special in that it's richly interwoven with references to the shepherd psalm. In verse 34, where Jesus looks out on the crowd that's gathered as on sheep without a shepherd. In verse 39, where he makes them to sit down on the green grass beside the lake. And in the following account, in verse 51, when Jesus joins his disciples in the boat, and the wind died down, and the waters became still. It's a story that begins with the call to the disciples to come away to a quiet place and get some rest. And it ends with their baskets overflowing after Jesus has prepared a table in the wilderness. So as we look at these two texts this morning, I want to highlight three invitations that I believe God holds out to us today. God is inviting us into rest and renewal. He invites us to be fed and filled. And he invites us to find our safety and security in the shepherd. First invitation this morning is an invitation to rest and renewal. The story of Jesus' feeding of the 5,000 begins with a call to come away on retreat. Jesus tells his disciples, come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. The disciples had just returned from their very first mission out on their own, when Jesus had sent them out two by two to preach and to heal in the surrounding villages. Their mission had been a success, but Mark reports that so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. To top it off, Jesus and his disciples had just received the very disturbing news about the death of John the Baptist, who'd been executed by King Herod. And so they took some time away. They went off in a boat by themselves to a solitary place. A little later in the story, in verse 46, Jesus too will go off on his own alone on a mountainside to pray while his disciples returned in the boat. Even Jesus needed time of rest and renewal in the midst of the struggles of life and ministry. Psalm 23 envisions a time of rest for the sheep. He makes me to lie down, the psalmist says. For sheep who are accustomed to moving from pasture to pasture to find their next meal, this would be a welcome respite, to lie down in green pastures. The still waters, likewise, are literally the waters of repose. Waters of rest or relaxation. It's not just the water, but the sheep who are still and quiet and at peace. In such a restful place, the psalmist says, He restores my soul. Regular rhythms of rest and renewal are a crucial part of the life that God has called us to. When God led His people out of the 24/7 experience of slavery in Egypt, one of the first commandments that He gave to them was to keep the Sabbath. One day in seven to rest. It wasn't something optional to be left sitting like so many unused vacation days, but it was something about which God was deadly serious. Because the consequences of a life without rest, a life without limits, could be so destructive to individuals and families and communities. Our shepherd invites his sheep into regular rhythms of rest and renewal, saying, Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. It begins with the rhythm of one day in seven, but includes rhythms for our day and month and year and beyond. Set aside some time and come and rest in the green pastures beside the still waters. The second invitation is an invitation to be fed and filled. Speaking as a confirmed introvert for whom there is no such thing as too much alone time, I have always found it frustrating that the disciples' solitary retreat was seemingly spoiled by a crowd of 5,000 people clamoring for food and attention. But I have come to recognize over the years that though the disciples may not have gotten what they wanted, they did ultimately get what they needed on that lakeshore retreat. Verse 42 tells us that after the miracle of the loaves and the fish, they all ate and were satisfied. Whereas the King James Version would have it, they were filled. And that includes the disciples, who so recently didn't even have time to eat, but who each left with a basket full of leftovers. As David has already reminded us in the psalm, I have everything I need. The shepherd leads us to green pastures and still waters in order to be fed and filled. The shepherd's task, especially in such a dry and arid country as ancient Israel, was essentially to find pasture where the flock may be fed. Herds had to be constantly on the move in such a country. Green pastures are neither a common nor a natural occurrence, writes Philip Keller. But they are the product of tremendous labor and time and skill in land use. It is a wise and skillful shepherd who is able to pasture his flock in a green pasture. Indeed, that they are able to lie down and rest there suggests ample food and drink, not just for this meal, but for the next one as well. Sheep will not lie down until they have eaten and are satisfied. A hungry sheep is ever on the move, looking for some way to fill that emptiness inside. In John's Gospel, Jesus follows up the miracle of the loaves and fish by speaking of spiritual nourishment. I am the bread of life, he explains. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never go thirsty. Elsewhere, he can speak of the living water that only he can give, that those who drink of it will never thirst again. The Bible often speaks of God's people being fed by the Word of God. As in the verse that Jesus quotes from Deuteronomy, we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. In our hymn a few moments ago, we called on the Lord to open His Word to us. Break now the bread of life, as once He broke the loaves beside the sea. And in a detail easily overlooked in this story, it's only after an afternoon spent teaching the people many things that Jesus proposed feeding the crowd from the mere 5 loaves and 2 fish that they had at hand. We are fed by the Word of God. And in the same way, the Bible speaks of being filled with the Spirit. To turn again to John's Gospel, this time in chapter 7. Jesus once stood up in the midst of the Feast of Tabernacles, a festival that celebrated, among other things, God's gift of water in the wilderness. And He declared, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to Me and drink. Whoever believes in Me, as the Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within him." John tells us that by this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The thought echoes the numerous times in the Scriptures that refer to being filled with the Spirit. We can, of course, also speak of being fed and filled with the bread and wine that Jesus calls His body and blood. Both Mark and John make that connection in their account of the feeding of the 5,000. And we'll explore that thought more fully when we come to the part of the psalm where the Lord prepares a table before us. For now, it's enough to say that the shepherd invites us to feed on His Word, to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest it, as the old prayer puts it, and to be filled with the Spirit, whom the Lord gives freely to those who ask. So we are invited to rest and renewal. We are invited to be fed and filled. And finally, we are invited to find our safety and security in the Shepherd. As Rabbi Harold Kushner, who wrote his book on the 23rd Psalm in the aftermath of 9/11, remarks, the 23rd Psalm is in part about helping us feel safe in an unsafe world. Sheep are timid and easily frightened creatures. Philip Keller speaks from experience. A stray jackrabbit suddenly bounding from behind a bush can stampede a whole flock. The slightest suspicion of danger from dogs or coyotes or cougars or bears can cause a sheep to stand up and the whole flock to flee for their lives. Only sheep who are secure and free from fear can be made to lie down, as the psalm says. The freedom to lie down is one of David's favorite images for safety and security in the Psalms. In verse 4, he writes, "I will lie down and sleep in peace, for You alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety." In the 3rd Psalm, under pressure from his enemies, he writes, "I will lie down and sleep. I will wake again, for the Lord sustains me." It is the Lord's presence that makes him feel secure, in the same way that the sheep can take comfort in the presence of their shepherd. Philip Keller writes that in the course of my time as a shepherd, I came to realize that nothing so quieted and reassured the sheep as to see me in the field. In the same way, he says, there can be no substitute in the Christian life for the keen awareness that my shepherd is nearby. There is nothing quite like Christ's presence to dispel the fear, the panic, the terror of the unknown. We see the same in Mark chapter 6, when the disciples are fighting against the wind in their little boat. They are anxious. They are afraid. But Jesus comes to them and reassures them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." Both the wind and their fears subsided when Jesus got into the boat with them. The psalm speaks of still waters. In the biblical imagination, waters often symbolized threat or chaos, as in Psalm 46, where the waters roar and foam, and the mountains quake and threaten to fall into the heart of the sea. The Bible's first verses picture the world before creation not as nothingness or emptiness, but as an endless expanse of deep and troubled waters, to which God brings order and purpose, and out of which he brings life. Jesus manifests that same power in the Gospels when he stills the wind and the waves on the Sea of Galilee, bringing order out of the chaos. I've always wondered at the significance of having the people sit down in groups of hundreds and fifties in the story of the feeding of the 5,000. But I wonder if Jesus isn't maybe bringing order and purpose to a crowd that had first appeared scattered, without direction, like sheep without a shepherd. The turbulent waters threaten danger, but still waters, especially in the dry and arid wilderness of ancient Israel, still waters give life. A flock needs water to survive. Says Rabbi Kushner, when the psalmist praises God for leading him beside the still waters, he is both thanking God for providing him with refreshing water to quench his thirst, and he is also thanking God for keeping the waters still, keeping them manageable and less threatening. He's thanking God for safety and security. Psalm 46 concludes with that memorable line, "Be still and know that I am God." It's an invitation to trust our shepherd for safety and security in an unsafe world. This psalm, the 23rd psalm, with its image of green pastures and still waters, invites us into that quiet place of rest near to the heart of God. That place where we find rest and renewal, where we are filled and fed, where we find our safety and security that we can only find in the shepherd. It's a place that we need to return to often. Come and lie down in the green pastures. Rest beside the still waters. Amen.